legalize marijuana.
Tuned in to WMFO in Medford, 91.5 FM, Pure Pleasure Technology, Tufts Freeform and Educational Radio.
The All-American Half Pound, Pure Beef Patty, lettuce, tomato.
Home, home again. I like to be here when I can. Fields, the tolling of the iron bell calls the faithful to their knees to hear the softly spoken magic spell.
You really think that just because you have an idea, it belongs to you?
You ain't never in your life heard a disc jockey come through here like me.
He mixes different quotes of people and a wide variety of songs, very, very freeform, which is the point of WMFO.
Push it right to the edge.
Yeah, it's definitely in the right. That geezer is cruising for bruising.
I know you like two things I like. Ooh. Chicken and chicks.
Freak socks.
Idea whose idea it was to get somebody, a female singer in, but Alan Parsons knew Claire Torian, had been working with her, and said, why don't you try her?
She just went in there and improvised over it. Yeah, that was amazing. That was fantastic. But that was done while we were mixing.
We knew what we wanted, not exactly musically, but we knew that we wanted someone to just improvise over this piece. So we directed her. We said, well, think about death, think about horror, think whatever, and just go and sing. And my memory is that she went out in the studio and did it very, very quickly and then came back in and said, I'm really sorry about this, very embarrassed. And we, in fact, were sitting in the studio saying, this is wonderful.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of this show's producer, WMFO, its staff and management, or Tufts University.
You had the power to be all good, all wise, and all powerful. Why would you make the world you had now?
I don't know. I was really drunk at the time.
It seemed to me really important. I've no idea why it did, to have voices on this thing.
My show, I can do whatever I want, so I am.
I want you to play like I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
A mix in those days was a performance, every bit as much as doing a gig.
Get your own show. Play your own music.
Annoying layers. Up on top of one another, like a sandwich.
Layering different sounds on top of each other. Layering different sounds on top of each other.
Hey,
Sister Sid went crazy in 68. We were, all of us, searching, fumbling around, looking for, well, where do we go now? Because here was the guy who starts producing all these songs and was the sort of heartbeat of the band.
Sid cast the long and large shadow over events. I think that the band were very impressive to keep going, actually, after the loss of their main creative drive. I mean, it was the first time you'd choose, isn't it? I mean, you wouldn't sit around and say, OK, let's get rid of our songwriter.
After Sid had gone, the music became more kind of soundscapes than songs.
You have to work to your strengths, and it's a very good thing that we couldn't write singles. We might not have done some of the interesting work that we did.
Once Sid was out of the picture, the Floyd just went glacial. They just let it all spread out. When I saw the Floyd for the first time, it was the summer of 68. It was actually the first American tour with David Gilmour. And they were just extraordinary.
Seemed to me really important. I've no idea why it did, to have the voices on this thing. And so the only thing that was clever about it at all was how to do it. So not to have an interview.
Devised probably in the canteen and done later that evening.
So I wrote out a bunch of cards and with questions on them.
I think what the voices did on the record very well was they actually brought out the dark side. They were, in a way, the dark side of the record.
First of all, we used a number of people who were in the studio with us, so we used three or four of our road crew.
I'm not frightened of dying at all, because when you gotta go, you gotta go.
The Irish doorman here, Jerry.
Why should I be frightened of dying? There's no reason for it, you gotta go sometime.
Wings were recording in here at the same time, so we actually used Paul and Linda, Henry McCulloch.
I don't know, I was really drunk at the time.
It's the people who are not used to being interviewed who come up with the stuff.
I think they started off with what's your favourite colour, you know, and your favourite food, and none of which was just to get people there. And then they went into when was the last time you were violent. This was the good bit. When was the last time you were violent? And then you'd answer it, and then take the next card, and the next card said, were you in the right?
Yeah. I was in the right.
Yes, absolutely in the right.
I certainly was in the right.
Yeah, I was definitely in the right. That geezer is cruising for bruising.
And this remarkable roadie called Roger the Hat.
If I participate in this effort, I'm going to get my gold disc at the end of it. Imagine that. Oh.
They were trying to track him down to do the cards, and by the time they got hold of him, the cards had gone missing. I don't know where they'd gone. So Roger Waters actually ended up doing it. He actually did do that one as an interview.
Right. You think you're going mad, Roger?
I once reached a stage in my life where I was completely convinced that I'd gone over the brink, or, well, that's what I cared to call it.
More things on than you had tracks for. So tracks would very suddenly change from one thing to a different thing.
All of us are on the desk with our fingers on the faders.
But that's the way it was, because we didn't have automation in those days.
A mix in those days was a performance, every bit as much as doing a gig.
It's one thing actually that we've kind of lost in the modern age.
was commissioned to record some clocks for a sound effects record for the very early days of Quadrophonic.
And when we were doing time, he suggested we might like to have these clocks. My memory of it is just this room full of tapes rolling around, because it was without any sort of computer help. Everything had to be done manually.
Getting all the clocks to chime at the right time, and that was a process of just finding a particular moment on the multi-track tape where all the chiming would happen, and then back timing the quarter-inch originals, which contained each of the clocks.
And then the very critical thing of tapes starting at a specific moment, which is all done with hand signs and stopwatches.
The Tears of the Gods sound collage. That's right, it's not just a radio show, it's a sound collage with audio clips from movies, TV shows, documentaries, political speeches, who knows where, mixed in between and on top of the music. And it's only here on WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. I'm your host, Edward Buchert, and after 2 weeks of training, we are wrapped up with that, and we expect DJs James and Marion to be on our WMFO airwaves pretty soon, as well as a slew of other new DJs that have been trained. So we're looking forward to that. If you've been listening for a while, then, you know, one of the things that makes a Tears of the Gods sound collage different from a Plastic Sushi sound collage, which both share this Friday evening 8 to 10 p.m. time slot, is that on a Tears of the Gods, we like to go deep rather than wide, focusing on just one or two styles of music rather than all the genre jumping that we do on a Plastic Sushi. And tonight, we're going deep for sure, focusing on Pink Floyd, and in particular, their classic album, The Dark Side of the Moon, which was released in 1973. And at this point, with more than 50 million copies sold, it's one of the best-selling albums ever. About number two after Michael Jackson's Thriller. And ahead of the Eagles' greatest hits from 1971 to 1975, and a more relevant, to me at least, AC/DC's Back in Black. Another perfect album along with Dark Side of the Moon, where every song really rocks. So, yes, The Dark Side of the Moon is frequently ranked as one of the greatest albums of all time. And I really like the way the tracks segue with all those voices mixed in. And the album is most definitely a sound collage, which is obviously had a profound influence on me with the sound collages I create for you and bring you here on WMFO. So what I've mixed up for you tonight is a theme I call Another Side of the Dark Side of the Moon. And I'll be reconstructing both album sides 1 and 2 of The Dark Side of the Moon and using cool cover versions by other artists and also some Pink Floyd live versions of all the songs in the original order. And then, in the second hour of the show, we're going to go back to 1967 with Pink Floyd and a 17-minute version of Interstellar Overdrive, one of the very first psychedelic instrumental improvisation pieces recorded by a rock band. And oh, tonight we're also going to be hearing Chuck, anarchist journalist extraordinaire Chuck Hughes, report on last weekend's Honk Fest. Yes, that'll be in the second hour as well. And our audio clips from who knows where tonight are all pretty much from the outstanding DVD documentary on this album called Classic Albums, The Making of the Dark Side of the Moon. And that includes interviews with all of the band members, plus other people like Alan Parsons, the audio engineer. And you heard in my intro set there, which was a collaboration with The Orb, a trance remix of The Dark Side of the Moon. You heard Roger Waters talking about the idea for mixing in the voices and recording them and the little thing he had with the system with the cards and going around and kind of interviewing people. And Alan Parsons talking about setting up the clocks. And David Gilmour, the phrase in there, that a mix was a performance back then, because the band members and the producer and the audio engineer, they'd all sit around the mixing console and then they'd manipulate the faders for that mix, as opposed to nowadays where it's done by computer and, you know, you say, okay, at 73 seconds into this, turn that bass all the way up and turn the drums down, stuff like that. Well, in any case, it's quite a sonic collage we've got in store for you based on one of the perfect albums of all time. Backing me up right now is Cracker G and a really cool cover version of On the Run from The Dark Side of the Moon. And, well, let's get the rest of your Friday night sound collage party going with, of course, the first song off of The Dark Side of the Moon. But this version is by Mary Fowl. Here in the Tears of the Gods sound collage, WMFO in Medford.
Straightforward.
I don't mind. Why should I be frightened of dying? There's no reason for it. You gotta go sometime.
You're tuned into the Tears of the Gods sound collage. That's right, it's not just a radio program, it's a sound collage. And this evening, we are recreating an album that's itself a sound collage and one of the greatest albums ever produced by human beings. Our theme is called Another Side of the Dark Side of the Moon. And you just heard a recreation of the first side of the original vinyl album, performed by other artists as well as Pink Floyd. We began with Mary Fowle and her version of Speak to Me from an album called From the Dark Side of the Moon. And then Pink Floyd, a live version of Breathe from their Pulse double CD album. And then George Sara, an incredibly cool version of On the Run, that synthesizer piece that's about people traveling to the airport, and as I'd like to believe, that it's a story about somebody rushing around to make their flight, and then they miss the flight, and as it takes off, it explodes. And they realize that it could have been them, but it wasn't. If not for missing the plane. And there, anytime a big disaster happens, there's always stories of people who, for some reason or another, avoided getting involved, and other people who at the time thought they were lucky to have made that flight. Only to die. And we followed that with Motor Industries and their version of Time. And I got both of those, well, off of separate volumes of this incredible electronic tribute to Pink Floyd, volumes 1 and volume 2. And we're going to be hearing more volume 2 in our next set. But we wrapped up that with Pink Floyd themselves once again and The Great Gig in the Sky. And that was from Pulse Live as well. You know, there's still farmers markets going on here in our Somerville, Medford area. And in particular, tomorrow, Saturday, Union Square is hosting its farmers market from 9 a.m. until 1 p.m. right in Union Square Plaza. And then on Wednesdays in Davis Square, they have the farmers market in the lot at Day and Herbert Streets from noon to 6 p.m. And there are other places with farmers markets, and you can find out about that by just firing up your favorite search engine on the internet and looking for farmers markets in your area. And, of course, this has been a public service message from all of us fruits and vegetables here at WMFO in Medford, Tufts Community Radio. And you know, another thing I wanted to let you know is that we've been running our donations drive because our funding got cut and we have to appeal to our listeners. Yes, you, who are obviously enjoying or at least tolerating this sound collage. No, you're enjoying it because otherwise you'd flip to another station. Lord knows there's certainly plenty of other stations you could be listening to. Not the commercial stations. Well, you could be listening to them, but our sister non-commercial stations. So we thank you for that, and we thank you even more if you went over to donate.wmfo.org and sent some money to us. Thank you. Well, let's continue now with a recreation of the second side, the second vinyl side of The Dark Side of the Moon. And oh yes, I do want to mention, this is a cool cover version of Pink Floyd's Theme from War, performed by Kismet. But we'll start off the next set here now with Alistair Foster and Dynamochrome. And since this is the second side of The Dark Side of the Moon, of course, that means it's going to be about money here at WMFO in Medford.